Beware of Unintended Consequences, read by an automated voice. By Randy Hardy. Since 2019, the Bonneville Power Administration, Pacific Northwest Utilities, independent power producers, and other interested parties have struggled with politically required, but operationally difficult, development of renewable/storage resources in the region. While much of this struggle involved slower than expected generation interconnection and transmission access/construction by BPA, the dynamics behind such clean energy development are considerably more complicated. As a former BPA CEO with over 40 years of dealing with PNW energy issues, I thought a more comprehensive analysis of this situation might be helpful. Background. In 2019 and 2021, Washington and Oregon set ambitious clean energy goals, requiring their utilities to achieve 80% clean/decarbonized energy portfolios by 2030. At that time, those states' two main utilities, Puget Sound Energy, or PSE, and Portland General Electric, or PGE, were roughly 35-40% clean/decarbonized. Today they are only 45-50%. While such limited progress seems problematic, the nature of the non-ISO/RTO grid in the PNW and our specific transmission difficulties slowed renewable energy development substantially. Geography. Northwest geography significantly complicates regional transmission development. Nearly all wind and solar sites are east of the Cascade Mountain Range, while loads are mostly in Seattle and Portland. In addition, current high-voltage cross-Cascades transmission lines are fully loaded, so devising methods to provide new transmission to PNW load centers or even upgrading existing 230 kV transmission to 500 kV across this environmentally sensitive barrier is a major challenge. I would estimate the degree of difficulty associated with overcoming this challenge, since it affects nearly all PNW renewables development, probably exceeds such geographic/environmental challenges in any other region. To submit a commentary on this topic, email forum@ruinsider.com. BPA Generation Interconnection/Transmission Access. BPA owns and operates roughly 70% of the region's high-voltage transmission. Despite this transmission position, it operates, not as an RTO/ISO, but under FERC's Open Access Transmission Tariff, or OATT regime. It currently has 115 gigawatts in its generation interconnection, or GIQ, and, like RTO/ISOs in other regions, is struggling to interconnect these resources as rapidly as possible. Unlike those entities, however, as an OATT utility, it also must operate a separate transmission access process complete with its own first-come, first-served queue for providing transmission capacity to renewable resource developers and others. BPA typically processed this queue via an annual transmission cluster study that analyzed each submitted transmission service request, or TSR, and thereby provided a specific plan of service for each such project. That CSQ has increased dramatically since 2020. Specifically, 2020 CS 4 gigawatts, 2021 CS 6 gigawatts, 2022 CS 11 gigawatts, 2023 CS 17 gigawatts, and 2025 CS 65 gigawatts. This recent exponential growth in TSRs has stalled BPA's ability to analyze the 65 gigawatts in its 2025 CS because of the multiple years required to perform such complicated power flow analyzes and because the amount far exceeds any credible projection of future PNW load. As a result, any project in the 2025 CS probably will not receive any long-term firm or LTF transmission until well after 2030. BPA TSRs from 2020 to 2023. For TSRs submitted to BPA from 2020 to 2023, the situation is better but still challenging. As a result of these TSRs, BPA plans to significantly expand its transmission portfolio, primarily through upgrading cross-Cascade 230 kV transmission lines to 500 kV, plus adding series capacitors and reconductoring existing high-voltage transmission. This program, labeled its Grid Expansion and Reinforcement Portfolio, or GERP, will cost $5 billion according to BPA, although realistically closer to $10 billion given all the environmental and procurement cost escalation factors involved. However, given the permitting realities, BPA staffing shortages and GI/TSR processing challenges, most GERP transmission projects will not be energized until well after Washington/Oregon 2030 80% clean energy deadlines. The relatively good news, when eventually energized, GERP projects probably will enable PSE and PGE to meet their 80% clean energy goals. In addition, BPA also has enabled 3 to 5 gigawatts of clean energy projects to reach Portland and Seattle by repurposing existing LTF transmission freed up by retirement of Colstrip and other thermal resources. Complicating factors. data center load growth. Similar to electric utilities in other regions, PNW entities have experienced dramatic increases in projected loads driven by data centers and, to a lesser extent, electrification. From 2001 to 2022, annual PNW load growth equaled 1% or less. Loads from 2025 to 2034 now are estimated to grow by 2 to 3% annually. Recent announcements of potential data center amounts/locations in the PNW total 12 to 15 gigawatts by the mid-2030s, mainly in Hillsboro, Salem, or east of the Cascades. Current data center load projections could easily be double or half of the 12 to 15 gigawatts estimate. In almost any case, they will increase regional loads substantially. This phenomenon dramatically increases the transmission capacity required to serve them, as well as the time needed to build such transmission and its cost. For example, over 3 gigawatts of data center load is projected for Hillsboro, but reaching this densely populated area involves multiple 235 hundredths of a kilovolt upgrades by BPA and PGE and likely will cost $2 billion or more. BPA staffing. BPA experienced substantial staff reductions and associated turmoil resulting from the Trump/Musk actions in early 2025. While regional parties helped BPA avoid the worst of these, they still lost 200 of their 3,100 employees in February 2025 and, despite finally being exempted from the federal hiring freeze in November, have yet to even get back to their start of 2025 staffing levels. Then to reach the additional 400-plus staff they are projected to need to timely process all the GI/transmission access requests needed to meet reliability/clean energy requirements. Both the data center boom and administration staffing restrictions came at the worst possible time, given BPA's GI/TSRQs and unique transmission processing problems. Better late than never for DOE to exempt them from the federal hiring freeze, but the PNW effectively lost a year or more in its ability to identify and build the high-voltage transmission necessary to meet PNW clean energy, reliability, and data processing needs. Conclusions. While well-intended Washington/Oregon goals of 80% clean/decarbonized energy by 2030 were set without consideration of the transmission access and construction realities BPA and other regional transmission providers would face, achieving such goals also was handicapped by emerging data center load growth and administration staff reductions on BPA. Perhaps most significant, besides these transmission realities, the 80% by 2030 mandate set off a virtual gold rush of TSRs, resulting in the 65 gigawatts in BPA's 2025 CSQ that are not capable of being processed in any reasonable time frame, if at all. Many of these outcomes could/should have been foreseen and planned for. Others represented unfortunate surprises that were unanticipated under reasonable assumptions. The probable result: BPA/PNW will simply need to muddle through this mess over the next 5 to 7 years. As mentioned before, JERC projects eventually will enable PNW utilities to reach 80%, but probably not until 2033-2035. Even with these transmission realities now plainly visible, Washington and Oregon legislators have yet to deal with the affordability of these clean energy mandates. This is an emerging problem, but no doubt will worsen significantly in the next 5 years. Given that both PGE and PSE are only at 45-50% clean/decarbonized now, reaching 80% will involve substituting 1 gigawatts or more of renewable energy for energy from existing thermal resources. Such substitution involves replacing current coal/natural gas generation, probably costing utility consumers $40 to $50 per megawatt hours, with wind/solar which nominally cost $50 to $60 per megawatt hours busbar. However, when you include balancing, load following, additional transmission costs and purchasing additional energy to serve load when the wind does not blow or the sun is not shining, increases delivered cost to utility customers by $25 to $30 per megawatt hours. Then this $80 to $85 per megawatt hours delivered cost energy could well increase by an additional $20 to $30 per megawatt hours when federal tax credits expire, raising the overall cost for renewables to reach the 80% goal past $100 per megawatt hours. While this problem is belatedly being recognized, it has yet to be dealt with in any meaningful way by either state legislature. Lesson learned. Beware of unintended consequences. As this article hopefully illustrates, they already have adversely impacted the timing and the cost of achieving 80% by 2030, and, if further action is not taken, they will further frustrate achieving such goals in the next 4 to 5 years. Industry watcher Randy Hardy was CEO of the Bonneville Power Administration from 1991 to 1997. Prior to that, he held a similar title at Seattle City Light.